We have been started last week talking about raising children. I'd like to continue that thought today. And we talked about last week that when you have a newborn, you have to learn patience. That's just a fact of life. It's something that all of us need to learn. When we get to toddlers, though, that's really a wonderful age because everything is brand new. Everything is exciting. Everything's a fresh delight. And it really helps to be able to see things again from a child's point of view. I thought it was interesting. I was up here getting my thing set up, and Kara came up and she pointed out that this was a leaf. And even though it's in a different spot, that one's also a leaf. And even if it's over here and it looks a little bit different, it's still a leaf. But that's new to a toddler. That's something new. It is something exciting. And there's curiosity about everything. And oftentimes they get into things that are forbidden, not because they're maliciously trying to do it, but because they want to know why. Where's the limits? What happens when you do these things? But with curiosity behind it, we want to know what happens. And communications also gets better because they begin to develop a language. And for a lot of parents, hell, that's a relief. I remember those days. Finally, I know what the kid's saying. At least you have some clues as to the child's thoughts. But there's also annoyance, too, because the vocabulary is so small and the pronunciation is so innovative. Sometimes you don't really understand what they're saying either, even though you can hear the word. Like, for instance, one phase that almost every child goes through is when they tell you no. And no may not mean defiance. It might just simply mean later, or not that way, or not that color, or this tastes odd. Okay, but it's basically because the vocabulary is limited. And so just because we have certain words being said, we've got to make sure that we understand what is trying to be communicated. Now, during the time of a toddler's age, this is the time that parents start teaching about the idea of love and security. Love is something that's important to every child, and it's important to the child of God as well. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 35. Romans 8, starting with verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as written, for your sakes we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the things that gets us through this world is understanding that God's love is constantly there. Sure, we have a lot of troubles. Difficulties come in life. But one of the things that we as Christians value is the understanding that God's love is there. One of the things that helps children get through life is understanding their parents' love is there. Because one of the things that we've got to understand as parents, you're the first glimpse that the children have of God. You aren't God, you know that. You make mistakes. But to a child, you represent the ideas of God. And one of the ideas that needs to come across for a child is the idea that there is constant love. And as adults, we have to come to believe and understand God's love is constant for us as well. Paul asks, who can separate us from God's love? How is it possible? We are secure in the knowledge that God loves us. And we have that security to the extent of knowing that God's gone to such extents to bring us to Him. It gives us then the feeling of security. In Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 9, Jesus asks this series of questions about a father's love. Matthew 7, starting with verse 9. Says, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask him? Now, we're not talking about spoiling a child, because that's not in the child's best interest. But when our children ask for things, we give what they need. We understand. But a child who gets everything they want is a spoiled child. We don't want to teach, I am, therefore I get. That's not the attitude that we give. And God doesn't do that with us either. There are a lot of things we would like to have, but it's not always good for us. But at the same time, when we need something, God watches out for us. He gives us what's beneficial to us, just as a parent gives what's beneficial to a child. And a mother's love is also strong. A mother's love is to be so strong that she might even be willing to give up her child to protect that child. Now, most of us never will go through such a thing, but we have to understand the depths of that love. Take a look at Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, talking about Moses' mother. Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 3, it says, but when she could not hide him any longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it, set it in the reeds by the bank of the Nile, and his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Here's a mother who loved her child so well that she hid him so that he would not be killed, as the edict in that country was at that time. It got to the point where she couldn't hide the child anymore. He got too old. But she was willing to give it, the child, over. In this case, to fate, to God. And that child was raised in Pharaoh's household. That's quite a bit of love that you're willing to give something up just so that it might continue to live. Samuel's mother desperately wanted to have a child. And when she finally was able to have a child, in thankfulness, she gave that child up because it was part of her promise. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 19. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year, when she came with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Can you imagine not seeing your child but once a year? And then, but that because God gave you something so rich and so good that you're all willing to allow that child to serve God. We all think about the case of the two harlots who had come before the king and Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, one woman had lost her child, substituted her the dead child for the other woman's living child. And then they started arguing over whose child it really was. And as Solomon came up with the innovative way, he said, well, we're going to divide the child in half. And notice what it says then in verse 26. 1 Kings 3, verse 26. Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill it. Instead of allowing that child to be killed, she said, fine, let the child live, and she can raise him. That's how Solomon knew whose child it really was, because she was willing to give up that child just so that child could live. See, women have and develop, and a mother has an enduring love, a strong love. In Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child or have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. If we understand how strong a mother's love is for her own children, one that's constant, one that's there, one that will not give up, one will endure all sorts of things just for that child. God says a mother might forget a child, and we know that's never going to happen. But God says, I'll never forget you. God's love is stronger. One of the things also we have to understand in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4, that love, that strength of love, doesn't necessarily always come naturally. There's a lot of impulses there to have that love. But it's also something that has to be learned. In Titus 2 and verse 4, the older women are to teach younger women so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, and workers at home, kind and being subject to their own husbands, so the word of God may not be dishonored. Sometimes it has to be learned. Now that we all sometimes assume that, well, you have a baby, therefore you know how to love a child. That's not necessarily always true. And it's passed down from one generation to another. We have to understand, though, sometimes there are generations that grow up without the proper love they ought to have when they're young. And they may not know how to love a child when they get older. And it needs to be taught. We don't want the cycle continually. We break it to reestablish what it ought to be. And when you have a toddler, not only does there need to be this idea of love, and that love is constant, is love is there, that gives the child security and comfort, but they also have to understand that children now get into things. And limits have to be set. And training has to start right away. Some people ask, well, when do you start correcting a child? The answer is, when they start going the wrong way. They may be barely able to crawl, but if they're reaching for the light socket, training starts right then. If they're reaching for things that they ought not to reach for, you start training them then. You don't put it off until later. In Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs chapter 22, and in verse 6, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The point is that we've got to need to start establishing good habits. And those habits start even from earliest childhood. It means that we need to teach habits in our children. Setting good examples for our children. Habits of bedtimes, brushing teeth, reading Bible stories, saying prayers, all these things that can be done with a child who's just a toddler. Morning habits, like greeting each other with joy and thankfulness. Or eating habits, meals only come at certain times. Snacks are limited. Maybe the treats are good things like fruits and vegetables. And seen as a special snack instead of the sugary stuff. Those are all trainings. When we talk about also, though, with Christians, we also have to think about that. When we start out as new Christians, there also needs to be training in the same way. And good habits established. Too often people are baptized and people let them go. Right at the very start. Well, now you're a Christian, of course you know what to do. No, there needs to be good habits, like coming to services. That's a habit that needs to be established early on. Reading the Bible, learning more. It's not that becoming a Christian is the goal, it's the starting point. The goal is to get to heaven. With teaching children, there has to be a teaching that there are limits. And when those limits are followed, they give security. If you don't understand this, try sometime getting up in the middle of the night, especially if you go to some place you've never been before, and it's pitch black. And then try walking across the room. Okay. You suddenly feel very insecure because you know where nothing is at. And you just know you're going to rack your toe against something. But as soon as you know where the limits are, then you can walk with a lot more confidence. If you know where things are at, it's the same thing with a child. When a child is not told that these are off limits and these are allowed, that is actually nerve-wracking. When they never know exactly where they're going to get in trouble. And there are a lot of parents like that who just don't raise their children well. They yell at the child when it gets annoying. But when it gets annoying depends on their mood at the time. Rather than saying, this is allowed and this is not. So disciplines like light spankings, scoldings, and sometimes even you might have to just let the natural consequences happen if it's not dangerous. Now, when a child is first learning to walk, they fall down a lot. Keeping them from falling down actually doesn't help them learn to walk. Sometimes you got to let them take a few bumps on the bottom because they'll learn to walk faster. Now, you don't let them fall into the coffee table or something like that. You keep them protected, but at the same time, you got to let them make mistakes. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. We don't get always what we want. And there are times when life gets rough. And I've had lots of people make the observation, hey, when I start going off the wrong path, things get really rough. Things get hard. Life becomes a little more miserable. That's the Lord's discipline. And we ought not to reject that. It is there to keep us in line. And sometimes, yes, we go through hard things. And we say, why me? The answer is because you've got to grow up. And sometimes you have to take lumps to grow up faster. But the Lord is watching out for us. See, now's the time for a child to learn that listening to parents is important for their own well-being. So when you say, well, don't do that, don't run, you'll get hurt. And sure enough, 30 seconds later, boom, they're crying. But what do they just learn? Well, parents know what they're talking about. And they really mean it. And when God tells us certain things are sinful and they're harmful, and if you go that direction, you're going to get hurt, we need to learn to listen to God. And for some people, it takes a little bump to get to that point. Take a look at Proverbs 1 and verse 33. Proverbs 1 verse 33 says, talking about wisdom, it says, "But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." When we learn to listen to our parents as little kids, life gets easier. When we learn to listen to God, life gets easier. But sometimes it takes a lot of repetition. Not everyone learns the first time. And remember that lesson we had last week about patience. That's where some of it comes in. Things that have to happen, you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, hey, I told this kid, don't touch that. And I had to get after them 10 times in a row, and they're still trying to touch it. What's the answer? Keep going. Some kids take a little longer to learn. What does God do with us when we get in sin? We go off into sin, he finally says, ah, forget it. Let you go? No. Things still are harmful. Things still have trouble. God still spurs us to do what's right. In other words, for discipline to be useful for a toddler or for anyone, it has to be consistent. The limits have to be there and they don't move. That's what gives security, and that's what gives Christian security, knowing that God remains the same. I have discussions with people all the time. Well, is lying wrong if it's in this situation? No, it's still wrong. Well, what about when it's like this? It's still wrong. Well, how about it's still wrong? It doesn't change. It's not situation ethics. Morality is constant. That's what God teaches us. And that's what you instill in your child as well. In Hebrews chapter 13... Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 8. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Things don't change because God doesn't change. Right and wrong doesn't change. In fact, over in Psalm 62, Psalm 62, and starting with verse 1. Psalm 62, starting with verse 1. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. For he is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. When the psalmist describes God as being our rock, he's saying it doesn't change. And because it's our fortress, it means I can be secure in knowing that is constant. So in other words, things aren't off limits just because you're having a bad day or you're too rushed to watch at this moment. Either something is right or something is wrong. And it's a parent's duty to say that this is constant. That also means, though, that when you do tell a child to do something, and for a toddler, there's not much you can tell, you know, they forget real quick. But you might say, you know, you need pick that up and put it over here. That means as soon as you say that, you just sign yourself up to watch. And you have to make sure that it's followed through. Now, it might take a while, but it needs to be done. Because the child has to learn that a parent means what he says. If you allow it to get it through now, guess what happens later? when you start saying, well, you know, you have to be back by 11. You have a whole long history of never being consistent. You just blew it. But you blew it 10, 11, 12, 17 years earlier. Start out by establishing good habits. And that means you have to follow through. And that's sometimes hard. That's difficult. It's annoying. It takes a lot of your day. But that's what it means when you have a child. Also with that, with a child, training in Scripture starts right away. Language is there. Teaching can be begun. And now's the time to start talking about God, talking about the Scriptures. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Israelites were told when they're training their children, it says, you shall teach them, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Children are naturally going to ask you why. Here's the time to start explaining. This is what we do. They may not always understand everything, but you explain to them. This is the time that you start showing habits. You teach first and foremost by living righteously. And that security then comes through the wisdom and trust in God that you display. That's then passed on to them. We read out of Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to reread that passage just again. Take note of this. Proverbs chapter 3. And starting with verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. And that's wisdom. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be light to your soul and an adornment to your neck. Then you will walk your way securely and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor on the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Is life going to get bad? Sometimes, yes. But God is our confidence. We know that it's always there, that he loves us, that his way always works. God, there's very simple lessons you can give to a toddler. God is love, and that's shown by mom and dad's love for the child. That God is good is shown by the kindness that you show to your own child. Children learn to help. A child will often return items that it finds. Praise the help. Every little bit. They want to imitate what mom and dad does. Find something they can do. Even if it's really no real help at all, that's fine. They're learning. And keep in mind the child's viewpoint. You know, sometimes their help can be irritating. They're exploring. Can be trying as you try to keep track of them. I remember some of ours when we went through Mammoth Cave and trying to keep track of a bunch of kids while they're in a cave and you're saying, if there's shafts down here. It can be irritating, but you understand from the child's point of view. Lessons need to be taught. But don't let your anger teach the wrong lessons. Don't let yourself get irritated. See it from the child's point of view and understand. And when we're talking about new Christians, it's the same thing. We have to understand from a new child of God's point of view. Sometimes we have done things so long and done it the same way that when someone comes in and they say, well, why? That's not a point of irritation. They still need to be trained. If we don't remember why, we need to go back and learn again. It's no different. And that's one of the points I was hoping to get through in this lesson. But in each time, in each phase of life, things change. And as a child of God grows up, things change. And what we need changes. I hope you'll think about the things that we talked here tonight, this day. Isn't really a lesson to bring a person to become a child of God, but there is no better time to start than right now. God's love is there. He gave His Son on our behalf. Even while we were yet sinners, so that we might be saved from our sins. And there's no better time than the moment we have right now to put on Christ and be a part of God's love and dwell securely knowing you're doing the right thing. If there's anyone here also as a child of God would like the prayers of brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward if we stand and sing the song of selection.